put up a title if you don't mind. I forgot what I put. Easter's instructions. And basically, I want to simply talk to you about obviously Easter and what we need to do on Easter, okay? What do we need to do? And so, I want to ask you, have you ever become distracted? Have you ever become sidetracked to the point that you didn't know what you should have, or what you didn't know what you should have done? I know I have. I know driving, I've become very distracted. I've missed roads. I've run off the road. I've even had wrecks. I've hit cars. Not that I'm proud of it. I've hit mailboxes. I think I've shared that story. I hit 2 mailboxes when I was 16, like the week before Easter. So, because I got distracted. Well, I'm being disobedient to what my dad said, but also I was distracted. And a lot of times when we get distracted, we don't do what we need to do or what we should have done. And not just driving, but I remember being younger doing homework. When I was doing homework, I would always get distracted. And especially studying for spelling tests. I don't know if y'all did. We had an actual spelling book, vocabulary book. And I had to study spelling. And I did okay in school, but I would not have done good in elementary school, though, because my mom and dad made me study and do my work. But I hated, and I'll say the word hate, I hated. I mean, there's no other word. I despise spelling. And it would take me all night. And my dad would, my dad would quiz me, my mom, and say, spell this word. And if you couldn't spell it, you're not going to get it right the next day. So just a time out. When you're studying, even in college, if you study, I don't care if you study for an hour, but if you don't know the information, then you got to keep studying. Oh, you're not going to make good on a test. People were like, well, I studied 5 hours. Do you know the stuff? Well, no, then you got to keep studying. So that was my philosophy. So anyway, but so I didn't know. So I'd go back to my room and I would have to study some more because I would get distracted. Sometimes we get distracted and distractions cause us not to do what we ought to be doing. And now you say, what does this have to do with Easter? Well, Easter is a happy event. We get to spend time with family. My in-laws are coming in tomorrow. And so we get to spend time with family. We usually eat a traditional meal. We get Easter candy, and I've shared that story where I don't get an Easter basket anymore from my mother. And that stopped way before Willow was born. I don't know what happened. I didn't get the memo, but I've realized quickly I wasn't getting another one. And I've said something many times now, and I still don't get one. So she's done. I don't know why, but she's done. You get an Easter outfit. And like I said, this is my Easter tie. I wear it other times, but this is my go-to tie for Easter. We go to church. We go to church. We take pictures. It's a fun and exciting time, and it should be. I mean, in Old Testament, they had celebrations and they had a good time at the same time as remembering what the Lord had done, okay? And so, same thing is true today. We need to have a good time, and I want you to have a good time. But due to that, with a lot going on, it's easy to become distracted by those things, and sometimes we don't really do what we need to do on Easter. Now, I want us to be careful today not to get distracted from what really Easter is about, okay? Now, I want to do the other things. I'm not wanting to be a grump. We got a ham in a crock pot. We're going to have some stuff, so I'm looking forward to that. But we need to make sure that we don't forget about what Easter and what we ought to do. So we're going to talk about what we ought to do. And just to give you just a short definition, what is Easter? Easter is simply remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and was fully man and fully God, and died and resurrected, shed his blood for our sins, and it rose again where we could be saved. That's what we celebrate on Easter. So there's three things that I want to look at this morning about Easter that we should do on Easter. Number one is we need to recognize that Jesus provides, provides salvation. Leonard Anderson, what did he do? I want to point out first, A, the need for salvation. And I'm not going to belabor this point for so long, but we just need to be, it is foundational that the mankind has failed. Do you want to know why the world like it is? Because mankind is a failure. I mean, I know that in the society we live in, no one's supposed to say that, but as mankind and human being, we have failed. We are a failure, and that started after God, not from God, but God created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and they disobeyed God. They sinned, and I remember a little from junior church, sin, anything we do, say, or think that goes against what God has commanded. As simple as that. Doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you think ought to be a sin or what's not a sin, and whatever you do, say, and think that goes against the Word of God, that's a sin. Now, because of that, the world is cursed with sin, which means every one of us in this room is a sinner. Okay? Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way and become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, okay? And I'm going to say it later, but your good isn't good enough, okay? Your good isn't good enough. Every man, woman, child living right now has failed God and is a sinner. I mean, Willow in that car seat back there is a sinner. She's a sinner. She was born a sinner. Naturally, the Bible says we are enemies with God. What does this mean for our future? Well, death. First thing is death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin so passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So anytime you see the word death, with sin, it has two meanings. First thing is that in the context, it means the idea that sin brings death, physical death. You know why any of us die? Because we're sinners. Now, I know you may say, well, that person didn't die of natural causes. Doesn't matter. We're all going to, our life is going to end, and on this earth, whether Jesus comes back or we die, because of sin. Okay? And that's consistent with Genesis. Abraham in Genesis 5:5, he died physically. Okay? Because of sin. Well, the second thing, the future of mankind, because of sin, there's hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay, now in the context here, that means eternal life. Okay, it means that there's a second death. And then it says that when our sin will kill us physically, but left to ourselves, sin will send us to hell. In Matthew 25, Jesus teaches that. He said in verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me into everlasting fire. Revelation 21:8 says, John said, but the fearful and unbelieving, that's really the point, and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and idolaters and all alone shall have the part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This morning, I want you to understand that your sin will die, will cause you to die physically, and your sin will cause you to spend eternity in hell. And I'll say this. I'm going to say it later. But hey, I know right now in this, I think in this room, maybe not, I mean, I'll be here. I've talked to some of the kids here about salvation. And as far as I know, they're still not saved. Salvation applies to all of us. You're not born saved. We see the need for salvation. Now look at letter B here, the lies about salvation. Here's the lie. And this is what you run into so much when talking to people. And anytime you have the truth, there's going to be some counterfeit or lies to deceive you. The same is true of salvation. Here's one lie I wrote down. So some people say this, I don't need it. I don't need it. The lie goes like this. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. I've got family who fall on this category and are not saved, they would say, I'm a pretty good person, or I'm a work in progress, or I'm not as bad as I used to be. I've got an uncle right now, and I've asked for on Sunday or Wednesday night to pray for. And I mean, he was an alcoholic for the most part. He was on crystal meth. He was all them things, and he let them things go. So because of that brother Darryl, one of the things that he says when I'm talking about salvation, I'm a pretty good person. I've made a lot of improvement. And I would say, yeah, I agree. He made a lot of improvement, but that's not enough. And the problem doesn't matter, because this is what Isaiah 64:6 says. And we are all an unclean things, and all our righteousness, all the things we think we do good, are as filthy rags. Now, you can study out all that later, but I'll be very appropriate now, and say, it deals with, it's not just dirty rags, it's bloody rags. Okay, it's blood, it's rags with blood on me. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a germaphobe. Kind of a little bit. But if you cut your hand, and I don't care how much I like you or know you, and you bleed on a napkin, and you want to give me that napkin, I'm not taking it. I mean, I'm not picking off a full hand. Not without some gloves on. And after I do that, I'm going to go back in, I'm going to wash my hand about 10 times. Okay, because I have a hand washing problem. I used to wash my hands until they were about bleed when I was a kid. Okay, so I would do that. I mean, but that's what, no one likes blood that's not theirs, okay? And that's the word picture that Isaiah's giving here about how good you are. And he's saying, you are a filthy rag. You are not good. Here's the thing. Your best isn't good enough because you have fallen short and you're not good enough. And yes, you do need salvation. Here's another lie. You can save yourself. You can save yourself. See, a lot of people say, well, I can do enough good to outweigh my bad, and I don't need Christ. Matthew 19:23-26, the context here, and obviously some rich people, and by the way, culture, they thought if someone was rich, that they had the favor of God on them, okay? And so that basically in their mind, if someone was truly going to heaven, if someone could truly earn salvation, it would be a rich man. Because the rich man surely had been blessed by God. And so that makes a lot of sense, what I'm about to read. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can be saved? So that's why they said it, because they said, surely, if someone's going to heaven, it's the man who has been blessed by God. He's saying, and then Jesus says the opposite, and then I like this. And Jesus beheld him and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And by the way, that's talking about salvation. So when people quote that, all things are possible, God, I mean, you know, God's going to strengthen you, but God, it's not talking about winning a football game. It's talking about salvation. Something you can't do on your own. You cannot save yourself. You need Jesus Christ. And that is what that verse is teaching. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself, and in the gift of God. You need salvation and you can't save yourselves. We see the need for salvation. We see the lies about salvation. And then let's look at the truth about salvation. Salvation, obviously, Jesus Christ is under attack. I think it was Brother Fred back there. He was talking about how they had one of the places he worked at, they had like a little study group, Bible group, and it says about God, but I think I'm right. I hope I'm not making this up, right? And it's about he put Jesus on the sign at work. The administration came to him and said, you can't do that. See, the Bible, most people don't have a problem with a God. They don't have a problem with God. They have a problem with Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ. They have a problem with somebody saying, hey, no, God sent his son, he lived a perfect life, and you have to trust in him to be saved because he died on the cross. They have a problem with that. Okay? But let me tell you something, it is true, and it is what the Word of God said. Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide salvation. Jesus is the only one that can clean you from your sin that has you hell bound. And it has all hell bound before salvation. John 1:29. And the next day, Jesus seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. You know, they had the Passover. Okay, that's what we're going to, you know, we'll talk about in a minute. When you had the Passover, they were celebrating the Passover. Remember the Passover in Egypt? They would take a lamb, they killed the lamb, and they put the blood on a doorpost. And because they killed that lamb, it saved them from a death angel. And it passed over them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, that God, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He came at the same time. He was at the Passover, and that's when he was killed, because he became our Lamb, the Lamb of God, that will take away your sin. John 3 said, But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then probably one of my favorite, Ephesians 1:5-7, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ by him shedding his blood on the cross for our sin. Acts 4:12 says it best, Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way we have to recognize that today is on each we recognize that there's no other way to have salvation but through Christ. On this Easter, if you're not saved, you need to recognize that Jesus provides salvation. And I said a minute ago, but I wrote down here, hey, there's 3, maybe 4 kids in our church that I've talked to. And it's been a while, 6 months or a year. And as far as I know, they're still not saved. We need to be praying for that. Because Jesus is the only one that can provide salvation. On this Easter Sunday, you need to recognize that Jesus provides salvation. But number 2, you need to remember that you receive salvation through faith. Receive salvation through faith. Salvation is by faith. Galatians 6:12. I'm getting somewhere right here, so stay with me. I've been praying about this because I don't want to ruffle people's feathers, but we're going to tackle something here. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So the Bible says that you're saved by faith. Okay, now stay with me because this is where it's going to get, you're going to pink up. I think you're going to, because I'm going to address something that is a problem in a lot of churches when it comes to salvation. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore being justified by faith. Ephesians 2:8, for you are saved by grace are you saved through faith. Here it is. You are saved by faith alone. Okay? You say, well, I don't know that. Well, do you? You're saved by faith alone. Okay, Martin Luther, that's one of the things he talked about. Was it sola fide or whatever? By faith alone. Now, faith won't be alone. Okay, I understand that. Faith won't be alone. But you are saved by faith alone. Okay, y'all look at me like, I'm not sure where he's going. But it's true. Thank you for the head nod. We are saved by faith alone. Now, for some of y'all, yeah, I know that faith won't be alone. I know that when you put your faith in Jesus, then there's going to be other things that happen as well, okay? But I want you to know that salvation is by faith. Salvation isn't by what you say. Thank you, because I need that, because this is something that I grew up to feel, and I'm very passionate. My wife is back there. She struggled with this as well. I struggle with it. About saying a sinner's prayer. And then I say it just right. You say, no, yeah, I struggled with that. And so did my wife. We went to church our whole life because we have emphasized the wrong thing. And let me just go through, because I've kind of processed this systematically. Hopefully I did. The Bible doesn't teach salvation come by asking Jesus into your heart. I know I'm treading on some dangerous ground, but hear me out. The Bible doesn't teach that salvation comes by reciting the sinner's prayer. Uh-oh. That's why our churches are not full, because we have a lot of people who have said a prayer, yet there's no faith. Listen to this. These phrases, just hear me out, these phrases may not be wrong in themselves. I'm not saying they're wrong to say them things, but the Bible never tells them specifically to seek salvation in those ways, right? I know I'm right. I mean, it's never fun to be unpopular, but it is right. What I'm saying is right. Take, for example, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Dwell in your heart by faith. So, yeah, don't get me wrong, Brother Mark. When we get saved, Jesus does dwell in our heart. And does come in. But what's the key? By faith. By faith. Here's the problem. You can ask Jesus into your heart without repenting and believing. I got another statistic I'll read. But I'm afraid that even our conservative churches that meant well, people, because we've said, hey, just say this prayer, we've had a lot of people come down here and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, you died on the cross. Lord, forgive me of my sin. They said all the right words. And that's not wrong, because if you do have faith, you'll probably say them things, but that's not faith. I mean, if I don't know anything about salvation, and I say, Brother Dale, how do I get saved? And Brother Dale said, when you say this prayer, what did he leave out? Faith. 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 And that, I'm telling you, you're not saved by what you say. You're saved by believing in Jesus Christ. You can ask Jesus into your heart without repenting. And believe, you can recite a sinner's prayer without having faith. Here's another problem with these phrases. They're misleading. Not that they're wrong. They're misleading. Just like that. I mean, it's misleading. I mean, for example, does God build you a mansion when you get saved? He prepares you a place, right? Does he write your name down in a book of life when you get saved? Brother Mark, yes. Now, Brother Mark, if you said, how can I be saved? If I said, you just tell God to put your name in a book of life. You tell him to write it down. You tell him to start building that building. Well, that's not necessarily wrong. That's not unbiblical. You think you're true. But is that how you're saved? No. Now, could you have faith? Of course. But you're not saved by saying, Lord, write my name down in a book. Woo! And I go on about my life. That's fine if there's faith. And don't get me wrong, there's somebody who, they probably have genuine faith, who said that sinner's prayer. That's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's misleading. And if you leave out faith, it's misleading, okay? If they say a prayer, if they tell God what to do, and don't have faith, then there's a problem. Asking Jesus, praying a prayer is only good if it verbalizes their faith. See, there's nothing wrong with saying, there's nothing actually wrong with Jesus coming to my heart if that prayer is a visualization of what's inside. But you can easily say them words and not be saved if you don't have faith. Many have been misled by this. I have. I remember being in college, a junior in college, wondering if I was saved. And saying that prayer over and over. And I finally said, I was having a panic attack almost. I mean, you know, pretty serious deal. I mean, when I said, do I have, because my problem was, I don't know when I got saved. And now, you do have to have a moment when you get saved, but at 9 years old, I can tell you where I was at. I can tell you a special spot. None of that matters. I heard that at the Garden Man. Somebody said, I went to the old church where I got saved. And oh, it's so special. I mean, it's fine. That doesn't matter. You know the color of the carpet when you got saved doesn't matter. Faith is what matters. I remember sitting there thinking, okay, I've grew up in church. And then I finally said, okay, do I believe in God? Yes. Does my life show that I believe in God? Well, yes, not perfect. That's what it's about. I do have a testimony, but I can't tell you this. You know, I got written my Bible at 5 years old. I don't have that. And it's okay. You know why? Because that's not what saves you. You write down your Bible, what saves you. What saves you is faith in God. And many have been misled by this. In 2011, the Barna study showed that nearly half of all adults in America have prayed such a prayer and believe they're going to heaven, though many of them rarely, if at all, attend a church, read the Bible, or have a lifestyle that are any significant different than outside the church. Well, half of America, but they should be saved. But I don't know if half of America saved. Now, I do think there's more that following God than we think. We don't get the Elijah syndrome. But why? No, because they said a prayer but had no faith. Faith changes you. That's easily why we have kids and grandkids and cousins and nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts who just won't live right. Oh, they're saved, are they? Do they have faith? That's what I mean. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, the whole book I'm reading about this. That right now, the reason so many people are not in church and the reason they may have grew up in church is that a lot of them, well, I don't know. But I can tell by their actions why they're not in church, why they never seem to get it together and live for God, because they don't have faith. And they think they have, they also because they said a prayer. They said something, that's not what saves you. Faith. And faith will prove itself. It will produce fruit. So, I mean, people are living like the world, acting like the world, because they are of the world. I don't know why we can't accept that. They're not saved. Do they live like a Christian? Not perfect, but direction. My concern isn't on one word or action you might use to express your faith in Christ, although I think we need to be very careful. I'm not going to say them phrases. But we don't need to substitute those words or action for repentance and faith. That's the problem. The problem is that we, without knowing it, I think, somebody comes down and I want to get saved, we say, well, repeat after me. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. Never have. Yes, I have done that in college. I'm not going to do that now. But when we take that prayer and we replace it with faith, that's the problem. That's the problem. When you say, well, you say this formula, salvation is not a formula. Salvation comes by faith. It's not by saying, and I'm not critical, but A, B, C, it ain't the A, B, C. It's faith. It's faith. It ain't like playing hopscotch. Oh, now I'm saved. No, it's faith. It's faith. And because we're not careful, that's just a work. I've already said it before. If your prayer is what saves you, then that's a work salvation. And I've said it, I'll say it again. You don't pray to get faith, you pray because you have faith. Faith is first, then everything else follows that. And probably we put all these things before it. Do I think that if you're saved and you understand, do I think you're going to ask God to forgive you for sin? Yes. Do I think you're going to thank Him? Yes. But that's not how you're saved. That comes after faith. Faith is what saves you. You can ask Jesus into your heart without repenting and believing. And you can repent and believe without articulating a request from Jesus to come into your hearts. I think it was the Ethiopian. What did Philip say to him? Do thou believe us? He didn't say, well, did you say the prayer? He didn't say, he didn't ask him none of that. He didn't say, did you ask Jesus into your heart? Did you say the right word? No, all he said was, do you believe? Do you believe? I mean, there's a thief on the cross. And far as we know, didn't say any. I don't think he said he believed. He said, you'll be with me in paradise because he believed. And he said, you don't know who you're talking to. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Faith. And I'm telling you what, right now, that's why so many people, By the way, the book I was reading, I don't want to mention the author because I don't agree with him on everything. I remember this, time out, you read with a pen and a razor. That's what my professor taught me. Something you underline and something you take a knife and cut out. Okay, so anyway. And he said, there's a lot of people, you know, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And I think this is where it's at. I think we got a lot of people who think, they literally think they're going to heaven because they said a prayer or they said, Jesus, come to my heart like a ritual, and they're not saved. They're not saved because it's faith. Faith. Salvation is through faith alone. So what do we need to do? Well, unsaved, you need to place your faith in Jesus. If you're saved, don't leave that out. Don't leave that out. I mean, I know, it's called easy beliefism. When you do that, did you say that prayer, raise your hand, and you're on your way to heaven. That's easy beliefism. We need to recognize that Jesus provides salvation. We need to receive Jesus' salvation through faith. And then thirdly, what we need to do on Easter is we need to remember that Jesus died for you to have salvation. Letter A, the normal Passover. I'm for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all these verses, but in Luke 22 and I think Mark maybe, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, okay? It was a meal, and it was a Passover, and you can read where they had got the Passover lamb ready. And like I said a minute ago, but the Passover that Jews celebrated, you know, that they're in Egypt, all the plague, and Jesus, God said, Moses through God, or God through Moses said, I'm bringing the death angel through. And if you don't have the blood applied to the doorpost, you're going to die. The firstborn's going to die. So they all cooked the lamb, killed the lamb, put the blood on, and death angel passed over the house that had the blood applied. So when they got out of Egypt, they continued to celebrate the Passover. And that's where they're at. Just a normal Passover. And it was a remember that they'd been spared from death. Now at this point, Jesus was getting ready to be arrested, crucified, and to die. So let it be here is the new purpose. I'm gonna allude to it. But the new purpose, they're sitting there, and they're having the Passover meal, and Jesus takes one last time to try to tell his disciples what's gonna happen. And you see this bread, this represents my body that can be broken on the cross. You see, this wine, it's gonna represent, the blood that I'm gonna shed on the cross. So they had a new purpose. He was teaching them a lesson and say, hey, now you don't have to celebrate the Passover and the Lamb because the Lamb of God is going to die for you. And he taught it to be a reminder. I'm going to share a little more when we do the Lord's Supper here. To be a reminder of what Christ had done. He even says, I think, right, in remembrance of me. Is that what it says, right? I'm not sure. It says, in remembrance of me. And that's what they were doing. That's where we get all the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that they were doing there. And he said, I want you to do this to be reminded of what you've done and what I've done. Here's the thing. If you're saved, you need to remember what Christ has done for you. And what you are. Hey, you remember that Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus showed you grace when you didn't deserve it. Jesus showed you mercy when you didn't deserve it. God showed you compassion when you didn't deserve it. God picked you up when you didn't deserve it. Hey, let's remember that. And let's do likewise to other people. We need to remember. You need to remember, hey, Jesus died on the cross for my sin. So you need to take your sin seriously. So today, maybe today you need to remember, and maybe today you need to recommit. That's what we need to do on Easter. We need to recognize that Christ provided salvation. We need to receive Christ by faith. And we need to remember what Christ has done. I'm going to ask Ms. Tammy and Brenda to come up. We'll close first in a normal way. And if they come up, and if you'll stand to your feet and heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to simply ask you today, where are you at today? Are you saved? Now, you may be coming here for 20 years, I don't know. But if you're trusting in a prayer to save you, if you're trusting something you recited, and that's it, I'm saying that's it, then you have a problem. It's by faith in Jesus. Faith. And I didn't go in this direction because I didn't want to take that much time. But you'll know if you have faith. You know why? Because your life will show it. You shall know them by their fruit. You're not going to be perfect. But overall, life, your direction of your life is going to be, hey, I am a Christian. I have faith. And my life shows it. You can read the book of James if you need to. It's a very good book to read about that. But as they begin to play, maybe you're here. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you know you're not saved. Maybe you thought you were saved. Hey, I want to encourage you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, let me ask you this. Hey, when you talk to people about Christ, are you telling it the right way? Or are you on accident substituting faith with words?